Today, I want to just share something to encourage moms. A mom was trying to talk to her little four-year-old son, who the next day he was turning 5 years old, and so she was trying to help him understand that when he wakes up in the morning, he's going to be 5 years old. And so as she's trying to convey this to him, he remembers that all year long he's been showing everybody that he's four and holding up four fingers. And so his mom said, you know, when you wake up in the morning, how old will you be? And he held up his hand and he says, I'll be a handful tomorrow. And when I was in middle school, my mom was a single mom and raising two boys, and I'll tell you what, I was a handful. During that time, I was suspended from school three to four times a year from sixth grade all the way to eighth grade. My mom had all kinds of struggles with me and just trying to raise these two wild boys, and she was trying to go make her way through a divorce situation. She had a low-paying job, bills to pay, no child support. It seemed like every step forward, there were three steps back. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And so once in a while, I would see that she was a little overwhelmed. But she was amazing. And the funny thing is I would see her just sort of pick up the pieces and get back to the grind. That was her. And that was my mom. And that still is my mom. And you can imagine during that time, all the people that were just looking at her and just going, wow, she's a mess. But the incredible thing is that every person in my family, every friend that she has today, every neighbor that she has today, they look at her and say, she is amazing. And if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have come to Christ. I remember when she came to Christ, she would try to encourage me to come. And some of you know my story. I had long hair down to the middle of my back. I was pretty rebellious. And the last thing I wanted to do is to go to church with my mom. And she kept pressing me and pressing me. And then she negotiated with me. I will buy you this, and I will buy you that. And y'all, sometimes that works. And I went, and in about 3 months of going with her to church, I walk forward at that church. And I attribute much of that to her. But the cool thing, just sort of watching my mom and watching her grow in her faith, here's what she's learned. She's learned the joy of the Lord is her strength. Amen. And that nothing is impossible with God. She's learned that when you walk through fire, he's with you. That's what it says in Isaiah. And she's learned that God is faithful through the mountaintop experiences and through the valley experiences. He's always faithful and he's always true. And if anything, today, I want you to know that. I want you to receive that message today. But I believe that she knows today that Jesus is an anchor, and that when things get a little out of control, she can trust in him and walk steady in her faith, and she has shown that time and time again. In fact, she's now a part of a ministry at her church called Real Hope, and she gets to minister to single moms. And because she knows the fight, she knows the struggle, she knows the battle of a single mom. So, you know, mothers, I believe mothers are some of the most powerful, influential people. people in the world. Their care, their nurture, their love, their teaching, their help, their guidance. And so I want to talk to you today, I want to talk to our moms today, that is, about how God can take your mess and turn it into something amazing. And something that really impacts people from generations to come. Regardless of where you are, regardless of where you came from, right? No matter where you are currently this day, maybe this message is for you today. No matter what you came out of, no matter where you've been, God can not only pull you out, but he can turn your life into something truly amazing. And through you, listen, through you, he can leave a legacy. So turn with me, if you would. We're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, what's happening here is Paul, this is his second letter. Paul is writing to Timothy. He's a young preacher in the faith, a young church leader, right? And so Paul is writing to him to encourage him along, and he's writing to prepare Timothy and direct him and to guide him. And so we're going to pick up in verse 3 of chapter 1. You can read along with me. You'll see this on the screen here, okay? He says, "I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayer, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy." Verse 5, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Amen. Well, every time, it says here, every time Paul thought about Timothy, he just thanked the Lord. He was so thankful for him. I'll tell you, if Timothy was an inspiration, and he was a teachable follower of Jesus. He was committed to following and serving the Lord. And so Paul called him a son in the faith. And Timothy was from a place called Lystra. It's east of Ephesus. And so it's in modern-day Turkey, if you kind of know the map a little bit. His mother, Eunice, as we just read, and his grandmother, Lois, had a tremendous faith and a tremendous influence on his faith. And we'll see this. Evidently, these were two amazing women, right? The faith Paul saw in Timothy was the same faith that Paul saw in his grandmother and also in his mother. And today, I want to examine this faith. And this faith that made these women and Timothy so amazing. We talk about faith a lot here at Bear Creek. As a matter of fact, I just covered, we just talked about that topic of faith just a few weeks ago. But I'll tell you, if you miss this, y'all, if you miss this, you could find your Christianity completely off track and not even know it. And so if you've never experienced true faith, authentic faith we're going to be talking about, today, I just want you to listen with all your heart that you'll experience the blessing and the joy and the life that God has given to you as a follower of Jesus. If you've made a decision to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, he is calling you to his kind of faith. And so what we do is we step into this faith and we don't assume we know what it's about. We receive from him. And we listen to him, and we're guided by him. And so, and here's the thing: is you could spend your whole life, and this is what I did for several years at the beginning of this walk with the Lord. Is I spent so much time just focusing on all my problems, because I thought God saved me, and now it's time for me to get to work to fix problems in my life. Okay, I think all of you can relate to this. We all tend to do this, not realizing that this is when we start to do this and we try to do all of this on our own, that's not faith. Faith is trusting him to do it. Amen? And so here's the deal. So what happens is we start focusing and drilling down on the issues and all the little problems, not knowing that with one decision to trust Christ, he can fix 1,000 problems, okay? With one decision to trust him and just really surrender our lives to him and just hear from him and follow where he leads and follow where he guides, he automatically and quickly and supernaturally begins to fix and repair, because when his truth comes in and we just trust him, when we really just trust him, it's amazing how many things begin to get corrected. And I discovered this in my life, and I watched this in my mom's life. I watched what God did in and through her. So again, one decision to trust him can heal 1,000 wounds. And you'll never understand that. It's supernatural. God just does it. I've witnessed it. I've watched it time and time and time again in people. And I'm like, wow, that person is growing so much in their faith. Here's a person, and they've lived 40 years so far from God, trying to fix all this stuff. One step forward, three steps back. They can't seem to do it. They've come to Christ, and God is doing this amazing work in their lives. And I've watched it. I've experienced it. And I'm here to tell you, this is how he works. When you truly, authentically trust him, he can fix 1,000 problems. And so so faith is the pathway to finding wholeness in Christ. And moms, listen again. You are the heart of the home. And your influence can shape your family, can shape the destiny of your family, can shape the family for generations to come. Your position in that home is just that powerful. And so let's get back to the text. Look at this. So he tells Timothy this. He says, I am reminded of your sincere faith. Listen, Timothy, he was impressive, an impressive young man. And his faith really stood out. It was something to be marveled over. And this word sincere, it comes from the marketplace back in Bible times. And the Greek word is it's actually two words, sign, right, which means without, and seer means wax, without wax. And you're like, what is that all about? Okay, but they would use this word in the marketplace, and a person would be selling a vase, something out of clay. And they moved these vases around so much, and this pottery around so much, it would get a crack in it. And instead of throwing it away, they would seal it with wax and then just sort of paint over it and hide the crack. And so what you would do is you would hold it up to the sun and you would see whether or not it had a waxed crack, right? And to see if it was true, authentic, and genuine, or was it cracked? And so when Paul says to Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, he's saying, I'm reminded of your authentic faith. It is true. It stands the test of time. It is a true and authentic faith. And moms, maybe this is something you've struggled with, and you might be saying to yourself, I need that. I need that kind of faith. I need something authentic, something real, that's something that applies and will help me with my life today. Or maybe you're saying, you know, that's the kind of faith I used to have, but, you know, the world kind of happened and these things, life just kind of happened, and I've gotten so off track and so confused with just life. Or maybe maybe you say, you know, that kind of faith is for other people. I'm just not like that. And none of that is true, y'all. You can have this kind of authentic faith that we're talking about today, and maybe your faith used to be stronger. But look, you can get that back, and you can make it even stronger so that it can withstand the influences and the pressures of this world. And so Scripture says this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Look, you want to please God, okay? Because you want to be in his favor. You want his favor to shine on you. Because this is how you grow, is as you're pleasing him and as you're seeking him, he is pouring out his favor into your life and his blessing into your life. As you push him away, he convicts and corrects and redirects you. But as you embrace him and as you seek to please him, as you're doing that by your faith, you are pleasing him, and you are encouraging the blessings and the favor of God. You know, these words, faith, belief, trust, they're all the same word in Greek. It's a pistis in the Greek. And they all mean to trust the Lord, right? Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And so what true faith is, it's confidence in the promises of God. Confidence in the promises of God. That's what true faith is. You have confidence in the promises of God. You trust him with all your heart. It's a trust in him. It's a confidence in him. And some people think faith is just merely believing, right? And wouldn't that be amazing if faith was just merely believing? Think about how easy things would be, right, in life. If we were just to believe that eating right and exercise was the way to health, and all we had to do is believe it, and whammo, gorgeous, right? All we had to do is believe it. We didn't have to step into it. We didn't have to really do anything to apply faith. We just have an easy beliefism. We just go, I believe it, and whammo, right? Or we believe in the principles of finance, you know, save money, stay out of debt, keep a budget. Okay, we believe that, okay, and all we have to do is believe it, and then wham, there it is. Financial success. Well, I think all of us can agree that that if we just believe that in these things, or if we just, the truth is most of us believe the right stuff and know the right things, right? We believe in the right stuff and we know the right things. We know what it takes to have health. We know what it takes, really, basically, to have financial health, okay? But is that true belief if we're not stepping into it? If we're not doing and activating, our problem is not believing in the right information. I think we've got that down. I think most Christians have that down about Jesus. You know, God created all things, life, all life is found in him. I think we've got this down. We've got the information. We believe that information, okay? We got that down, all right? But when it comes to really activating our faith in times of fear, in times of insecurity, it all breaks down. See, authentic faith deals with those situations, not perfectly, right? That's why we need God's grace. But authentic faith says, no, I'm going to walk by faith. I'm not going to walk by these fears that I see. So authentic faith is about doing. Authentic faith moves forward, moves things forward, activates. It does, right? In James, it says, faith without works is dead. If you're not going to activate and work this faith, it is dead. It lies dormant. And so look, this is what happens with a lot of believers. is they step into this Christian life, they keep their faith utterly dormant, and they go, why in the world is this faith not working? And it's because they've stepped into an easy belief-ism that is never activated. It's not fully activated. Where they've stepped into an easy belief-ism where here's this difficulty, and now this is where the rubber meets the road, and you have to trust the Lord and believe in the promises of God. Have confidence in the promises that he has in his word. Now is a time to do that, and you haven't stepped into that. And so Timothy had an authentic faith, and you'll recognize and you'll see that that authentic faith came not only from his mother, but it was passed down from his grandmother, Lois, to his mother, Eunice, on to him. And Paul recognized that. I like what Andy Stanley says. He says this, when you believe and don't do, when we believe and don't do, our dreams don't come true. That is so true, y'all. This faith, genuine, authentic, true, real faith is not an easy belief-ism. Easy belief-ism becomes almost like a superstition, right? And the only time we know when our faith is not a superstition or an easy beliefism is when we're confronted with a problem, when we face it with true, authentic, genuine faith, and we say, Lord, this is a storm I'm going through, but I'm going to praise you in this storm because I'm going to trust you in this storm, right? This is where the rubber meets the road. The type of faith that Lois and Eunice and Timothy had was an active, genuine faith, a doing type of faith. Faith makes all the difference in the world. It gets your mind on the right things and off of the wrong things. It gives you confidence. We've talked about that. It gives you hope. It gives you the right perspective, an overcomer kind of perspective. Where you move out of, I mean, some people suffer with victimhood, right? And so they're a victim everywhere they go. They live in that. Look, God wants to deliver you from that. That is a lie. And he wants to give you victory. Why? Because his word says it and he promises it, right? And because of your faith, you believe it, you trust it, you're not a victim anymore. You're a victor in Christ Jesus. Amen? So he gives you hope, he gives you confidence, he gives you the right perspective, he settles your fears. He overrides your insecurities, he overrides your personal desires. This is what faith is. It's saying, look, I feel like doing this, and I feel like worrying and worrying and worrying, but today I'm going to put my trust in you, Lord. And I'm not going to worry like I used to worry. These are all things that otherwise stopped you before and hurt you and misguided you and brought confusion. This is why when you step into genuine faith, that one decision can heal 1,000 wounds. It's because you're trusting him. And the way that you made decisions before misguided you, confused you, and kept you in a mode of defeat, so to speak. Our faith isn't loosey-goosey. It's anchored. What is it anchored in? It's anchored in the promises of God. It's anchored in the person and works of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, our feelings can sometimes get in the way. You'll notice in chapter 1, I think it's around in verse 3, that Paul says, I remember your tears, right? Timothy was kind of an emotional person. I can kind of relate to that, as you could see earlier in our message today, okay? I can kind of relate to this, okay? Timothy was an emotional person. Emotional people make a lot of emotional decisions. I call them stupid decisions or dumb decisions, right? We emotional people make emotional decisions. We're more inclined to do that. And look, But obviously Timothy, if it's true that he was a more of an emotional type of person, he learned to overcome that. He learned to lean on the truth of God's word. And so, and I'll tell you, you know, this faith, it's been a journey for me. It's been a learning kind of a journey. And one of the big things that I've learned is don't assume you know what authentic faith is. Keep stepping forward and learn. Stop being the teacher trying to teach everybody about faith and keep learning and keep learning and keep learning and keep growing and keep growing and get healthier and healthier. And the more I do that, look, as a father, and the more my wife does that as a mother, the more that pours out into our children. So look, God's amazing mom not only has authentic faith, but she also, number two, has a winsome faith. It's winsome. I think it's interesting in Scripture, we read quite a bit about the father's influence over the son, but that's not the case here with Timothy. Look at verse 5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you. It was passed down. But in Acts chapter 16, listen to this. It tells us that his father was a Gentile, was a Greek. He was an unbeliever. And it seems so strange, doesn't it? That Timothy's father was an unbeliever and his mother had such an amazing faith. And more is said about what his mother's influence was on him. In 2 Timothy 3:14, Paul tells Timothy, from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And so along the way, Timothy was taught the Scriptures. It didn't come from his father. We know that because he was an unbeliever. And so he grew up knowing the Scriptures, knowing the Old Testament, and it said, because of that background, it made him wise for salvation. So he grew up a Jew. And along the way, he became wise to salvation. Why? Well, obviously, it was from his mother and his grandmother. Maybe some others as well. But their faith was winsome, and their faith won Timothy's heart. I'll tell you, Melanie's good at making this faith appealing in my home. And look, our faith in Christ, it's life-giving, and I watch her. She points to all the incredible works of God, and she points our kids to the works of God, and she teaches me so much just watching how she handles the kids. But if they do something wrong, if Kendall does something wrong, I wish Kendall was in here because she would attest to this, but if she does something wrong, I'll hear Melanie say, no, you need to go into your room. I need to talk to you. Melanie cools down, and she goes in there, and she sits with Kendall, and she says, does this make God's heart happy? Or does it make God's heart sad? It makes God's heart sad, Mom. Okay, do you want to please God? Yeah. Okay, we love God, don't we? Yes. We want to make him happy. Yes. Okay, we need to trust him. Yes. Let's pray. And she takes it to the Lord, and she prays with her. And this is a regular rhythm of the household, is to point to the majesty and glory of our great God in the middle of all of the confusing world that we live in, okay? And so while things are falling apart out there, we want our home to be as secure and anchored as it possibly can be. The only way to do that is to anchor it in Jesus Christ and to apply your faith. We've been talking about this for weeks now. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the righteous shall live by faith. We don't just come to him in faith. That could turn into an easy beliefism where it becomes almost like a superstition if we just come to him in faith. But Scripture says we live by faith. That's how we live. It's our lifestyle. And so this is obviously the kind of faith, it was authentic and it was winsome because it kept passing down from one generation to the next. It had to be winsome. It had to win you over for it to pass from a grandmother to a daughter and now to a son. And here's the thing just sort of as a side note. So here's Timothy's mom, and she has this amazing faith. Why did she marry an unbeliever? So we ask this question, and we go, why would she marry an unbeliever? Now, let me tell you, during that time, if you were a Jew, you married a Jew, okay? You would not receive your parents' blessing, your father's blessing, unless you married a Jew in a typical Jewish family. You would be sort of an outcast in the Jewish community if you didn't marry a Jew, right? And so there had to be some consequences there. And so when we look at Eunice's life, the life of Timothy's mother, we see a little bit of mess, right? A little messiness. Look, God can still take the messiness, the mess, and turn it into something amazing. Why? How? Faith. Trusting in him. Walking by faith. Building a home that is faithful. You're not going to be perfect at this. Anybody figure that out yet? You're not going to be perfect at this. That's why we are under his grace, because we know we're not going to be perfect at this. But we aim to please God. We aim to follow him and just trust him. And so so knowing Timothy's dad was an unbeliever, we know that they were probably a house that was pretty divided. But it's just amazing what has happened through this faithful grandmother and this faithful mom. Psalm 154:4, it says this, one generation shall commend your works, O Lord, to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. One generation to the next generation to the next generation. See, what happens if our faith doesn't translate to the next generation is what we see in America today, right? And it has to be authentic, and maybe somewhere along the way, American followers of Christ in America have kind of lost their way, and it has not been a representation of something that's true and authentic. It's got to be winsome. It's got to be something where we look. If our faith is a life-giving faith, it'll be made known in the home. Okay. A life-giving faith should be made known in the home. That's very winsome to our children, very winsome to our kids. And so, but God's amazing mom does not just have authentic faith, a true abiding faith, confident in the promises of God, but it's a winsome faith. It's something that's very appealing, draws you in. It's an enduring faith. This is number three. This faith these two moms passed along was strong, and it endured. It stood the test of time, and you see the world and sin and Satan want nothing more than to break you and to break your faith and to misguide you and misdirect you. But what happens is this type of person is anchored in Christ, and when they are anchored in him, they can endure almost any storm. They can endure any storm. Hebrews 4:14, it says this, therefore, since we have a great high priest, giving the focus here to Jesus, we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. I love that. Gives all direction to him, since we have this great high priest, this powerful, mighty God, since in light of that, hold firmly to this faith that you profess. See, the example of these two moms gave Timothy a strong template, a good example, right, to live by. Look at verse 6 in chapter 1. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands, of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I like how he says this. For this reason, for what reason? For the reason of sincere faith. This sincere faith, seeing that you're living out an authentic faith, for that very reason, Paul says, I want you to fan into flame the gift that God has given you. See, God has given us spiritual gifts, right? To be an influence and an impact on the church and on the world. He's given us these giftings. Timothy had these giftings. And here's what's so amazing about Timothy. Not only did he have those gifts, but he had this incredible, authentic, winsome, right, enduring faith. He had that. And Paul says, fan into flame the gift that God has given you. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Ignite or stir up the gift of God that he has given you. This faith is powerful, and it was a powerful faith in the life of Timothy. Why? It was enduring. It was strong. And moms, listen, you want to, I've named this message Mom-tastic. You want to be Mom-tastic? There is no greater gift that you can give to your children. There's no greater gift that you can give to your family and to your friends than an authentic, winsome, enduring faith that inspires them to do the same. And it passes down very naturally or supernaturally from one generation to the next. And knowing Timothy's pedigree and the type of faith his mother and grandmother had, Paul says, He says, for this reason, Timothy, God gave you that spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Launch, get out there, activate this gift. I see this authentic, winsome, enduring faith in the ladies here at Bear Creek. They're such an incredible influence on others, and again, not perfect, right? I can name a couple of imperfect ones. No, I'm teasing. But they're so encouraging, and it's sobering when we stop and we think that we might be passing down whatever our faith looks like. It's sobering to know that we are passing this down. And we should always take this very seriously. You know, I was watching this this TikTok video. Anybody familiar with TikTok in here? Everybody knows TikTok except for people my age and older, okay? But anyway, I was watching this TikTok video, and it was of a mom who was questioning her four-year-old daughter. And they were just on a playground, and you could see the daughter's on a slide. And she says to her, she was telling her, you know, well, honey, if you feel like a boy, you can be a boy. And the little girl says, I don't know, mommy. And she goes, well, if you feel like a boy, you can be a boy. And but when I was watching that, it just grieved me because it was this mother influencing and pouring in to this child and causing such confusion because the mom has been so led so far off the course. She's been led so astray from the truth, from due north. And she's out there in a forest, wandering around, and all of these lies of our culture, modern day culture, just pouring in her house, and just pouring into her life. And now she's taking that lie and she's teaching it to her child. And I was just going, you know, and I'm in the middle of writing this message, and I was saying, you know, this is the exact opposite of what we would want to happen. We want to build up our children. We want them to know their identity in Christ, amen? We want them to be so rock solid in who they are and where they're going. No confusion, clarity, health. Okay? Now, here's the thing. The schemes of the devil are deceiving. Sin is pressuring you every day, and the world is influencing you more than you know. So how do you chart the course? How do you stay true north? Authentic faith, winsome faith, and an enduring faith only found in Jesus Christ. Amen? Only found in Jesus Christ. Now imagine this. A faithful mom who has enduring, winsome, authentic faith, going to that mom that's on the playground and pouring into her life and rescuing her from the lie so she can redirect her kid and aim them in the right direction. Look, I'm aiming to change the world in this metal building in Crescent. God wants us to change the world. How do we do it? Well, moms, it could start with you. Turning your house around, aiming your kids in the right direction. Look, you're flawed. That's okay. You don't know all the answers. That's okay. Just be honest and be authentic. And keep searching, keep walking, keep staying true north, keep staying true to the Lord. Look, His promises are true. You can rely on Him. You can trust in Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight. That's true faith. So I want to encourage you today. I love what Abraham Lincoln says. He says, "All that I am and all that I ever hope to be, I owe to my mother. My mother has meant everything to me." And in the end, when we all stand before the Lord, we just want to say, "Lord, I trusted you. Lord, I trusted in your promises. I was confident in them, and I stayed true the best I could, trusting in your power, leaning on you." In the end, that's where we want to be. And so I want to encourage moms today to take a step of faith. And look, there's opportunities here at Bear Creek. We just try to keep people pointed on these three things: worship on Sunday, grow in a life group, serve in a ministry. Because we believe that you'll be fully activated if you're doing those three things and you're in those three different places. And what our aim is to pour God's word into your heart and flush out all the lies, right, of the world, so you can learn the truth and become a mom who is authentic, winsome, and enduring. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we're so filled with hope today. Such encouraging message through this book of Timothy, knowing that this young man who was so full of life, Paul saw something in him that he saw in his grandmother and his mother. Just knowing the influence that's been passed down for three generations.